You've got just one egg. You're not going to make an omelet flying just one way. You're not going to make a jet set. Sister, brother, wherefore art thou? No need for bunk beds in my bedroom now. Oh, damn you, Dad.
That you won't let it bend. Now I wrote 200 letters I will never send. Sometimes these cuts are so much deeper than they seem. You'd rather cover up, I'd rather let them be. So let me be.
Good afternoon, Jennifer.
Good afternoon, Ed.
Good afternoon, Josh.
Welcome to the Gleeful Podcast with Josh, Jen, and Ed. Flawless. That's how the pros do it. Welcome to the Gleeful Podcast. We are back to discuss the latest episode of Glee entitled Original Songs.
And no, just sing. Isn't it just original song?
I think so.
Is it original song?
Song, yes.
Oh, well, now the show is ruined.
It's fine. Oh my god. Let's just end it now. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, we're done. Welcome to the Gleeful Podcast. We have lots to discuss. There were a gazillion songs in this episode, and we will not hear them all, but we will get to as many as I can stomach or fit into the show. That was bad. That was so mean. But I guess we could just dive right in because there's no reason to waste time when there's so much to discuss. Jennifer, how did we feel about original song?
Really liked it. I thought it was a lot of fun. It felt like one of the old shows, mm-hmm. and I loved everything that was happening and the different relationships. I thought all the music was fantastic. Even some of the ridiculous songs were still really great.
Well, I'm glad that you did point out. I mean, some of the songs were ridiculous.
Well, but they were inherently ridiculous.
Yeah, they were ridiculous by design.
Intentionally so, exactly. But the thing that blew me away is how good the music was and how kept. I mean, come on, even Trouty Mouth was very catchy, and she sounded amazing.
That was kind of the funny thing, is that you did have, like, of the original songs that weren't the ones they ended up performing, you know, Trouty right. Mouth, Big Ass Heart, Only Child, and Hell to the No.
Yeah.
What I liked about them was that they did, they're not included in the songs I loved, if you saw my tweet. But what I liked about them is they did feel like they were written by somebody who doesn't write a lot of songs. Like, they were kind of derivative, the rhymes were a little basic, but that was the idea.
Yeah.
And I thought that was cool.
But the music and the performances were fantastic.
Yeah, but they sold it with the usual Glee kid excitement, you know?
Total Glee
commitment. Ed, what did you think about the episode?
I thought the episode was fantastic. It's sort of like sectionals and regionals and now nationals is the dessert that we like sit through the terrible meal for. Not the terrible meal for, but the okay. That's terrible. We sit through the okay meal. Like okay, this is okay. Nom nom nom. This normal episode. Blah blah blah. Filler. And then the dessert comes and you're like, oh my god, that's why I came to this restaurant.
You make a pretty good point. I mean, I wouldn't say it's a terrible meal, but it's definitely hit and miss. You know,
I know. I regret it the second I said it. I definitely meant adequate meal.
There you go. It's just been hit or miss. You know, some episodes are better than others. Some episodes have better moments than others.
But sexuals really and regionals never disappoint.
Yeah.
Never, ever. And if they do, I'll punch Ryan Murphy.
This was an episode, I guess the best review I can give of this episode is that this was an episode that managed to bring tears to my eyes without having to do anything with the plot. It brought me back to those early moments in the series where just the songs alone and the passion of the songs and the whole concept behind, you know, the whole focus of this show beyond the be yourself stuff is Glee is about opening yourself up to joy. And there were moments in Raise Your Glass and in Get It Right that were just pure joy. And that was what I liked seeing it get back to. You know, I like the songs that have a bunch of emotional impetus and a bunch of, you know, intent to them. But it's so great to just have songs that are just great and just for fun and, you know, and really well done. There's nothing better than a performance in front of an audience. There's nothing more electric than that. And you can tell in their performances that they were in front of an audience as opposed to in front of a camera, which they were that as well. But... Well, let's go ahead and there's lots to talk about in this episode, and we are going to let... So let's go ahead. We had a little technical difficulty there, which is called Josh clicking the wrong button. Let's go ahead and open up the conversation here with listener Nicole.
Hey, guys. It's Nicole. I usually email you. I just wanted to call you and tell you what I thought about last night. Episode. I thought it was one of the best, like, from both seasons. I bought it on iTunes earlier, and I already watched it again, and I have all the music from it, and I just thought it was really, really good. I don't know if it's too late for the podcast. I don't know if you've recorded it yet, but I just thought I would leave you a message and tell you what I thought. All right, can't wait to listen to the podcast. Bye.
Thank you, listener Nicole, and listener Nicole has been with us forever. And it was just nice to involve her in the show a little bit. And, of course, to kick off our conversation about original song.
Hi, Justin and Ed. This is Grace here from Perth, Australia. I just had to call after watching the latest episode of Glee because it was so good. That Kurt Blaine kiss, I swear, I turned into a little fangirl puddle. It was so sweet and so, so perfect. Oh, my gosh, I loved it so much. Anyway, and then the other... really, really awesome part was Rachel's original song. I mean, I'd only heard little snippets of it before the episode, but in the episode, after, like, the emotional build-up of the Rachel Finn Quinn love triangle and everything, I literally got shivers when Lee and Michelle were singing. It was that perfect. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say. Can't wait for your recap. Bye, guys.
So, all the way from Australia. Thank you very
Yay,
much for that.
Very cool.
And she kind of hit on all the major things. And I guess, you know, we'll take a listen to Rachel's song a little later and discuss that. But I know the main thing people want to talk about as far as plot-wise is Kurt and Blaine made it happen.
Yeah, they did.
How wild was that? So, how did we feel about Kurt and Blaine in this episode, Jennifer?
I was really happy. I was really taken aback by it. And I love that it was just sort of... that moment, and there wasn't this big sort of, you know, ridiculous build up to it, and that it was just a really sweet, tender moment. And I thought it was really cool. And of course, I don't read any spoilers or anything, so I'm not, I don't know if this, if there's been talk about this or not.
So. I didn't either.
Yeah. But Ed, were you surprised?
I was surprised because there wasn't spoilers about it. I mean, we all knew that. We all knew from the beginning that when Darren Criss was originally cast that he was supposed to be Kurt's supposed boyfriend, in quotes.
But we all heard that about Court Overstreet as well. I mean, I definitely have my doubts at this point. I thought they dragged it out for quite a while.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be, you know, just friends.
Yeah,
I know, right? I know, right.
But so you were surprised, and how did you feel about how that all came together in this one?
I was literally watching with my friend Dita, and we were taken aback. It was like, whoa, what just happened? And the most shocking thing about the Dalton Academy is I thought they were actually doing homework in one scene.
How dare
they? I was like, hold on, they're actually doing stuff. And then yesterday. I hopped on Twitter because I know I'm always on Twitter. Then They Kissed was trending, and I was like, "Ah, adorable!" And I was shocked. Klain wasn't trending. Klain, make it happen, people.
It was. I mean, I really liked it. I liked that there wasn't a lot of pomp and circumstance around it.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, you know, sometimes when there's kind of a clandestine moment on a show, like you know, sometimes when they're doing something like a same-sex kiss and they kind of tiptoe into it or they make a big scene about it,
mm-hmm.
and it just felt very natural and it kind of felt time, yeah. You know, like if it was going to happen, now's the time. And that was kind of nice. And so, yeah, I really enjoyed it. I think the funniest thing about them in this episode to me was at the end, after the Warblers lost, spoiler alert.
I hope you've watched the show by now.
After the Warblers lost, and they were burying Pavarotti. And
I love Pavarotti's casket. Oh, Pavarotti.
As they're so standing pretty. Over the grave, and, you know, Kurt's really depressed about losing, and Blaine says, but we found each other, and Kurt's like, yeah.
I know, there was a moment that I kind of thought, oh, wait, is he over Blaine? And so then I thought maybe Blaine was now going to be the one rejected, but they seemed cool with it. So.
And how great was it to have Kurt say, are we really a vocal group, or are we just standing here to doo-wop behind Blaine?
Yeah, Blaine and the Pips.
Blaine and the Pips. That's totally true. It's totally been Blaine awesome. And the Pips.
We've always said that, like, even though Glee has its problems, it does pay attention to what fans are saying. And so it's great to have, you know, one of the characters actually voice that. And everybody else go, no. All the other people on the Warblers were like, no, you just pick whatever song you want to do. We'll just perform what you want to perform.
Yeah.
We got a lot of the Warblers this time. We got them doing homework. We got them having meetings. Mm-hmm. One of them got a line, which was kind of funny. Kangaroo Court.
I know. They're so methodical about how they do everything. It's interesting anyways.
It's great. Sure. Well, here's kind of another side of this conversation, and I wanted to play their opinion.
Hey guys, this is Sandy from Virginia. Going into this episode, I was like totally done with Darren on Glee. Like, I love Darren so much. Like, he's absolutely amazing. I've loved him, you know, since he was on like YouTube and stuff. Like, I watched him there. And, you know, when he came over to my favorite show, I was like, freaking out. But, you know, going into this episode, I kind of was like, Josh, I was done with the whole Blaine thing. But after tonight's episode, because of what they've started, I don't want him to be off, but I'm also kind of done with his character, in a sense, and I don't know. But I thought today's episode was really amazing, and stuff. I just want to know what you guys feel about it finally happening.
And I think that Sandy brings up a good point there. Like, so if Blaine's going to be here for a while, like if Blaine and Kurt are now going to be a thing, we need to get a deeper Blaine, because he's kind of just an archetype. Like, he's always just been there to be the positive chirpy bird on Kurt's shoulder and be like, you're great, you can be yourself, what to do, and to motivate things in Kurt's life, but he's never really been a whole character. And so I worry now that they're together. I mean, I was kind of, as much as it was fun to see him perform, it was getting a little tiresome because he isn't a real person yet. And I'm looking forward to see if that real person comes along. Jennifer?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess we really, other than knowing that he was picked on in his other school as well, mm-hmm. and as he said, he chose to run, and he's been at Dalton since, I mean, yeah, I guess we've only just seen him sing. So, and we know he drinks a lot of coffee, but so yeah, it would be nice to see, you know, a fully fleshed out relationship with them, and get more personal stuff on Blaine.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Ed, do you see a future for that, or do you think that Blaine is just going to continue being Kurt's arm candy?
Well, I was discussing with some people my long-term predictions of the show, and I predict that by episode 18, both Kurt and Blaine, Klain, if you will be transferring over to William McKinley High, and it'll have something to do with Karofsky. Something. I'm not sure what, but something. Hmm. And that's how Darren Criss will be in next season. And presumably, if he's going to be in next season, there have to be more character to him.
Yeah.
But maybe not. But presumably.
Well, we really know next to nothing about, like, Sam. But Sam has, he never quite became the main focus of the show that I think I expected him to become. Early on, it really looked like he was going to be a foil for Finn, but then so much of season two has moved away from Finn, and so Sam has kind of been unnecessary in that role.
Yeah.
Well, he's just a more interesting person than the character that they had filling that 12th spot last year, Mark or whatever.
Mark.
Who got one line last year.
Yeah, he did. He got two.
He got a part in a song, and he got a part in the theatrical episode.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Well, let's go ahead and take a quick listen to Candles, which was our big Glee, big Clane duet in this episode.
I always thought you were a little top 40. What's funny is I sometimes refer to people as their genres, too.
Oh, yeah? What's my genre, Ed?
You're like theater geek, whatever.
Oh, wow. Here's a bit of Candles.
All the games you played, the promises you made, couldn't finish what you started. Only darkness still remains.
Lost sight, couldn't see when it was you and me. Blow the candles out, looks like a solo tonight. Beginning to see the light. Blow the candles out, looks like a solo tonight. But I think I'll be alright. Been black and blue before, there's no need to explain. I am not the jaded kind, play back such a waste. You're in. Invisible to me. My wish is
so about half the songs in this episode I'd never heard before, which means I guess I've been running too much Lupe Fiasco in the headphones for the last couple weeks, but I didn't know any of these. Ed, is this a song that you're familiar with?
I'm only familiar with it because I saw it on the track listing and I was like, oh, I need to look this up so I know what I'm walking into. This song apparently has been like circling around the Hey Monday demo's been circling around and like they're just kind of now getting big, and this of course is going to be a huge catalyst for them. But before this they're pretty much relative unknowns.
Interesting. I did look them up. They're from Palm Beach, Florida, and they have a girl.
Nice.
That's the only two unique things about the band. But yeah, what did we feel about this one, Jennifer? How did you feel about Candles?
I thought it was nice. I didn't think it was really regional caliber.
I was shocked, yeah.
But I do like how their voices complement each other. They sound really good together. But yeah.
Yeah, it was nice. I mean, I kind of agree with you. It didn't have a big uniting moment. I mean, I can't imagine that anybody would go to a competition with this song and not expect, like, Get It Right to come after them and make them forgettable. But it was still really sweet, and, you know, I think it was more kind of echoing of the moment, and and they can't do too big of a moment because, you know, for plot-wise, you need Get It Right to really be the tearjerker to come in a little bit. So I guess it makes sense.
Well, yeah, I mean, and then, well, their next song was going to be, like, that kind of, like, you know.
Yes.
Dance anthem thing.
The big,
you know.
Dance anthem.
Yeah.
We opened up with Misery. Again, not a song I'm particularly familiar with. Ed?
Maroon 5, hello.
Oh, that's right. I forget it is. It's off the second, it's off that, or second Maroon 5? No,
third
Maroon
album.
Third. I checked out, the first one was really good, and I couldn't stand that second one. It was so boring. And it's not, they're not a funk band anymore. They were a Neo Soul band when they started. Now, and Jennifer knows, I'm a sucker for Neo Soul, but they're not anymore. Now they're just kind of a backup band for
Adam Levine's
chest.
Adam Levine is so hot in the Misery video.
He really
just
was.
In other news. That's in other news. And, something about this song, I feel like, in a way, the producers were trying so, since they were doing such mainstream hits with Raise Your Glass and Misery and Animal and et cetera, that they were like so, it's doing this song felt like they were trying so desperately to be different without leaving the bounds of top 40. Like, it wasn't a top 40 song, but it definitely feels like it could have been.
Oh, yeah.
And it probably will be. So it's kind of like, well, we're not top 40, but we pretty much still are.
Oh, totally. I mean, they essentially picked a song that the only thing not top 40 about it is its chart placement.
Yeah.
Everything about that song is like radio ready. So yeah, and I guess we can take a quick listen to Raise Your Glass, which was the other big big Blaine song.
I wouldn't say I appreciated the, like, we've always seen the William McKinley kids go from one song to the other song, but even with Vocal Adrenaline, we only saw one song from them. And
that's
with,
true.
With Warblers, we got to see that transition, which that transition so fierce when they go from one song to the other. So fierce. Okay.
So last year they actually gave us the rules on regionals, didn't they? Or was that on sectionals? You had to have a solo, you had to have a group number, and there's a listener right now who remembers, but I don't. Ed, do you remember?
You needed a ballad. That's what I remember as well. Oh, okay. And you need to have at least 12 members, and they didn't. So I guess that's it. They need to have one ballot, and they need to have a group number, and I guess they need to have a solo at some point. But that's good. That's going to happen.
Yeah,
so.
we know that. Before we go into Raise Your Glass 2, when I was reading about this episode, as everybody knows, I'm very I'm terrified of spoilers. They're the only thing that frighten me, other than Sarah Palin's Alaska, but. I really avoid them as much as I can. And someone had tweeted, spoiler alert, in all caps, spoiler alert, RIP Pavarotti. And I'm thinking, that's not a spoiler alert.
No, that's just spoiler.
Yeah, that's a spoiler. That's just letting me know.
There's no way to avoid it.
Yeah.
But it's all in the same
sentence. Well, no, you turn your eyes.
Dude, it's like four words in a row. My eyes.
I know, right? Oh, well, at least when I do spoilers, I just link to a video. It's your choice to click it.
There you go. Exactly right. So I think this was like the Gleek Squad or something. But anyway, I had read months ago, I'd read a couple weeks ago that there was a death in this episode. And there were rumors of
death. Oh my god, you're right. And I forgot about that. And now you say that, I was like,
And I'd read, like, as soon as I read a death in this episode, I immediately thought Bert. And then, I think for about 10 minutes, I thought, who could they be killing off? And then totally forgot about it. And just as the episode started, I went, oh my gosh, they're talking about a death in this episode. And of course, I didn't want to say anything to Jennifer because I didn't want to ruin anything for you. But when it was Pavarotti, that was kind of hilarious. I don't know why. It was almost unnecessary, except that it gave Kurt an excuse to sing Blackbird.
Which was fantastic.
Was fantastic, and he played the music on a cassette tape, which I didn't know they still sold in America.
We were just talking about them the other day. Aren't they making a comeback?
They're in indie circles, yeah.
Yeah.
People are starting to release tapes in indie circles again.
Yeah.
Because there's a band I really wanted to get their EP, and it was only available on tape, and I don't have a tape player. I guess I could go to the Salvation Army and find one. Here's a bit of Raise Your Glass. This is a Pink song, which means it's lame. So here's
oh my, you did not just go there. I'm going to fight you on this. 5 a.m. turn the radio up. Where's the rock and roll? Party crasher, penny snatcher. Call me up if you are gangster. Don't be fancy, just get dancing. Why so serious? So raise your glass if you are wrong. In all the
So the first time I listened to this, when it was on the show, I couldn't get past how stupid the song was. But the second time I listened to it, it's a great performance, and the vocals are dead on, and the energy is fantastic. And when they bring the drums out, we all know they're coming back, but it's still exciting when the drums come back, and you get all excited. Jennifer, how did you feel about Raising
Glass?
Ed, go ahead, Ed.
I just want to understand your hatred of Pink, because, I mean, Misunderstood was an awesome album.
Her lyrics are inane. The topics of her songs are just stupid. And, I mean, I don't know.
That isn't fair
pointless.
To say all of her songs are that way.
Some of
her more recent radio hits have not been the most exciting or inventive, but to discard her entire catalog is just...
I'm going back to, like, just, like, a pill, dude. Like, that's a stupid song.
Well, no, what about Family Portrait, though? Oh, my God. Family Portrait is so good.
Anyway, the show's not about Pink.
I know, but we can segue, whatever.
Oh, I know. We do. I just know if Jennifer rolls her eyes one more time, they're going to walk away. So...
pull them back!
Pull it back. So let's talk a little bit about the love triangle that we got brewing in the episode. We have Finn, Quinn, and Rachel in their ensuing love triangle. And some pretty interesting moments in this episode. First, Quinn trying to become Rachel's friend, you know, keep your friends close and your enemies closer type of thing. But I think the crux of this thing was the conversation that Quinn and Rachel had, where Quinn essentially said, you don't get to have Finn and leave town. If you're going to leave town, I get something out of this deal. It was a really interesting conversation. What did you think about it, Jennifer?
Actually, I didn't quite take it the same way. I think she just sadly accepted her fate that, you know, the best that she could hope for from this life is to marry Finn and have kids and then, you know, have their respective careers within the town. And that, you know, she's sadly accepting that. And that I think that she knows that Rachel has more to offer and that, you know, Rachel will be better when she leaves town.
Yeah.
When she moves out and, you know, actually finds a career and, like, gets her own life.
It was a bizarrely kind of generous thing to say. Where we thought it was going to go, right?
No, I mean, because on the surface, it seems like it's going to be very mean-spirited and be like, see, I get the prom king and I get to have the kids and the, you know, the perfect, you know, white picket fence house and we have our little jobs and you're going to be alone, but, you know, successful and not around here. So, yeah, I mean, on the surface, it seemed... like, I think it was supposed to be mean, but, I mean, I think she was really kind of heartbroken at the realization that she had nothing more to look forward to.
That's an interesting point. I mean, I took it, obviously, a little differently. To me, it was kind of her saying, like, you don't get to have both. You know, you get to have one of them, but at least, you know, the one you get is that you get to leave, but I get Finn. But, yeah, either way, I mean, I thought that from a writing standpoint... it wasn't the usual conversation we were expecting there. And that I really liked about it.
Well, actually, I did write it down because she's like, you don't belong here and you can't hate me for helping you to send you on your way.
Interesting, yeah.
So, yeah, I took it more like, you know,
that's such a powerful line.
I'm stuck and you're better.
That's so much better than they could have been. So much better than they've been in the last couple episodes,
it was amazing.
Too.
I mean, I was really surprised to see that. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that was interesting about Quinn this time. Especially when Finn's like, ooh, scary Quinn.
That was my favorite moment in the whole episode. Ooh, scary Quinn. Ed, how did you feel about this conversation we're talking about with Quinn and Rachel?
I thought it was really, really poignant. And it was, Quinn was just saying how it is. She came with a very realistic approach to the conversation. And it might have been a little pessimistic and maybe not as happy-go-lucky as we all like to be. But within reason, she's probably... that's probably like one of the soundest conversations from a character, and I appreciated it, and Rachel should be, and I understand Quinn's perspective that Rachel shouldn't be really that upset with her because Quinn is acting as a catalyst to get Rachel to where she wants to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean there was, like I said, there were a couple of times that I was really impressed with Quinn. I like when she was going through her mom's tiara collection. And in the very beginning,
yes,
she has a voiceover, and she's like, and I'm relatively sane for a girl.
Yeah.
true.
Yeah,
like,
well, she, okay. That monologue was pretty great. Yeah. What was it? Prom queens live 5 years longer than
on
regular
average,
people.
5 years longer because they smile all the time.
Yep. I've quoted that line back to several people today.
I mean, it's a great... I like the way it all came together in this episode. It gave a reason for Rachel's inability to write a song other than just inexperience and kind of it seemed to motivate everything, and it came together in a nice way. I also like that Rachel didn't write both songs. I kind of expected once they got to regionals that both original songs they performed were going to be Rachel songs, even though she got the lead in both of them.
Yeah.
Well, nice I mean, was Loser Like Me, did she have the lead? She had a significant portion, but the lead, I don't know.
I guess you make an interesting point. I mean, to me, I would have read that as the lead. I mean, if I was Mercedes watching that happen, I'd be going like, why don't I have those lines?
Wow.
But, I don't know that there's that much to talk about in that conversation or in that relationship. I just loved that one moment in the middle of them getting into it. I guess we can talk.
I love that Evil Quinn was back, even though her Evil Quinn was a very nice, subtle, subdued Evil Quinn.
Yes.
Which was, I guess, refreshing. I guess you don't need to be all in your face all the time, Santana, but whatever.
Well, I think it's going to get worse because as she's watching Finn admire Rachel, you know, in her songwriting and her performances, and I think that, you know, Quinn is going to get to the point where she realizes she can't compete on the same level with him. And, you know, she's not going to get stuck in that town without him. That's for sure. So I think we can anticipate a lot more evilness from Quinn.
Well, let's go ahead and take a listen to two of these original songs we've been discussing at length. The first that was performed in the show was Rachel solo, entitled Get It Right. And here is a bit of Get It Right.
What have I done? I wish I could run away from this ship going under. Just trying to help hurt everyone else. Now I feel the weight of the world is on my shoulders. What can you do when your good isn't good enough, and all that you touch tumbles down? 'Cause my best intentions keep making a mess of things. I just wanna fix it somehow. But how many times will it take? Or how many times will it take for me to get it right? To get it.
So, Ed, you listened to both of these original songs right when they came out. What was your reaction then, and has it changed?
Oh, it significantly has changed. At the beginning, I listened to both songs. I was like, okay, they're okay. Like, the Party in the USA-esque guitars at the beginning of Loser Like Me, which is very Dr. Luke. So I was like, oh, well, that's cute. And and then when I heard this song, I was like, this song felt like a lot of songs that I've heard before. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. It felt similar to lots of other songs I've heard, and at the beginning they were just okay. And then as they've been slowly playing through my iPod, because I got the number 5 soundtrack, so I've been listening to it. And then when I finally had the inspiration talk and the performance, I was sold. Like before, I was like meh. And then I was like, oh my god, this is amazing. So, I mean, I don't know if it's really that amazing, but the songs are a lot stronger than skeptics may have believed, Josh. So...
Okay, now first of all, I'm skeptical about everything. That's how I appreciate stuff so much.
I think your skepticism is a little bit more than healthy level. A little bit more.
That's a conversation for a trained professional. But you make a really good point on the original songs. I really think that if I'd listened to these ahead of time by themselves, you know, me and my iPod, I think I would have been, you know, kind of warm on them. This one is very pretty, but I mean, neither of them are particularly original. But what I think that's where my skepticism came from before hearing them. But I'd forgotten, when you put them in context, some of the worst songs, when done with plot and performance and style, can be incredibly entertaining and make you fall in love with them. And I think that that's what happened with these two songs. I don't know that either of them are, you know, wonderfully amazing songs, but when put in context and the show being what it was, I totally fell in love with both of them, and I thought they were incredible. And like I said, you know, they made me tear up just by sheer force of performance, and that was great. You know, it worked for me.
I expect with there's no new episode until April 12th, I expect with the placement of this and the fact that they're number one and number two on iTunes, that these songs will have, more so than any other song that Glee has released, has actual potential to be a legitimate radio hit. Like, I've heard Don't Stop Believin' on the radio, like, once or twice. I've heard Free You once or twice. I've heard Marry You once or twice. But just, like, once or twice. This, I'm legitimately hoping that, like we're going to hear these songs on at least rotation for at least the next 3 weeks decently, especially if the sales are good, especially.
Jennifer, what did you think of these two songs? I'm particularly Get It Right.
Well, I'm really glad that I waited to listen to them, because listening to them in the moment, I was really blown away by how much I loved them right away. And I thought that there'd be that little bit of distraction factor, like, okay, this is a new song, I don't know it, I don't know where they're going with it. But yeah, everything, all the setup and the performance, she was amazing. I mean, this, I think this is one of the best performances she's had in a long, long time.
Probably the best one this season.
Yeah, I mean, because the song was written for her, so that kind of helps a little bit. But I was so giddy just to see them and to instantly, you know, fall for these songs. I was really happy.
And it's true. I mean, there's something about having them just written specifically for her, yeah, and really taking all of her into account. I mean, Leah was gorgeous on this song, and I think it worked really well. You make a good point, too. You know, when we hear songs on, like, American Idol, when they perform a song that you've never heard of, I find myself really distracted while they're performing it, trying to kind of find my footing in the song. Mm. And I was worried that that's what would happen in these two performances, but I really didn't. And I'm not sure if it was because it's Glee and because we're so tied into these characters and we're so tied into the emotions, even if I'm not getting the song or getting the lyrics, I really know where the character is in that moment, and I'm able to be with them in that moment. And so maybe that kind of, you know, manages to cross the bridge.
Oh yeah, I mean, they totally fit into the story, and you know what's going on with them, and then when they're up there pouring their hearts out, like, how can you not feel for them? I mean, I thought Loser Like Me was hysterical. I loved some of the lines, like, you know, I'll be your boss someday, and
yeah,
you know, you'll be washing my car. Just, I don't know, just, I thought it was just really fun.
Let's go ahead and take a listen to Loser Like Me while we have it on the topic. And this is from the show. Oh, you're right. It's so funny in the USA.
I know, right?
But hey, everyone you wanna be. Started off like me. You may say that I'm a freak show.
I don't care.
But hey, give it just a little time. I bet you're gonna change your mind. All of the dirt you've been throwing my way, it ain't so hard to take. That's right. Cause I know one day you'll be screaming my name, and I'll just look away. That's right.
Interesting, these two songs, they really span kind of, they go for a very young, almost Disney radio style, and then Get It Right, which is a much more adult contemporary kind of larger ballad. It's funny that they went two drastically different directions with it. I guess I expected two songs that were going to be more similar, but it turned out well. Jennifer, anything about
more than healthy skepticism? Continue.
I don't think there's enough healthy. I don't think any amount of skepticism is healthy or is unhealthy. Jennifer, go ahead.
I don't know what
Your
to say.
Your eyes are walking away.
Seriously. No, I already said it. I loved it. I thought it was so much fun. It was just such an incredibly fun episode, and I just thought everything about it was fantastic. I thought Artie was going to have some sort of, like, you know, solo moment in there, and then I'm like, oh wait, there are stairs. He's stuck on the lower level of the stage.
Join everyone else on the stairs.
But yeah, I thought it was fantastic, like, even down to the confetti slushies.
So, am I the only person who thought, oh my god, they're going to throw slushies at the audience?
I thought it was a little sensitive. Yes,
yes, but the confetti was so sweet.
It was perfect. And I love the inside jokes that, you know, even made Sue uncomfortable. She's like, what do you mean, throw dirt?
Yeah.
Like, they're talking about me? That was fantastic.
That was pretty great. It was a good performance. I think my only complaint was those stupid motorcycle boots and the bicycle fans. I don't really know what that was.
Oh yeah, I thought there was gonna be a lot more hard hitting stuff or something. Yeah. But because those dresses did not go with those boots.
But it was nice to get a lead vocal from Finn. We haven't heard from him in a little while, and so it was nice to get that.
Finn's on the show?
Oh, I found his mom.
It's in my heart.
She's on a different TV show.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this. Where has... Okay, so Kurt, Bert, Finn, and Finn's mom all supposedly live together. Supposedly.
Exactly, yes.
But yet, it doesn't seem that way.
You never see Finn in the house, and you just never see his mom altogether. So it is a little weird.
Yes.
It is a little weird, but yeah, she's on a new TV series. I don't know how much of a regular she's going to be, but...
She's on Mr. Sunshine, is that right?
Mr. Sunshine.
So we had... One of the complaints about Glee that I've definitely had is stuff happens in one episode, and by the next episode, they forget that it ever happened. But we did get a reprise of Santana and Brittany.
Yeah, Brittany making the confrontation, no less. That
was
impressive.
Pretty interesting. How did you feel about it, Jennifer?
I thought it was great. I mean, still nothing came of it other than, you know, Santana, you know, being hurt and bitchy towards Brittany, but I like that they addressed it, that it wasn't just completely forgotten.
Yeah, they didn't really move it along very far, but at least it came back, you know, at least they brought it up. Ed, how did you feel about Santana and Brittany in this episode?
I thought Brittany was very, like, nothing changed or anything, but it was, as you said, it was good just to talk about it, and I definitely can expect in... prediction episode 18 another big moment from Santana Brittany. I figure it's gonna totally be okay. I've been envisioning what I want for Born This Way, because I was talking to some people. So my envisionment of Born This Way is like Don't Cry for Me Argentina, how Kurt and Rachel had like the split duet. Mm-hmm. For Born This Way, I want Santana, Rachel, and Kurt all in different situations, all lining up the exact same way, and all having solos, but making it a trio for Born This Way. Of course, that's like my excessiveness. Don't put me in charge of Glee, because I'll do things like that all the time.
Well, I mean, it's clear that you know, we're gonna continue to see more bitchy Santana. I mean, come on, what did she call Artie? Stubbles McCripple Pants.
Yes.
and then like, obviously she's mad at Sam, who she's supposed to be in a relationship with.
She's hurt.
But she's lashing out at everybody again. Yes, oh, absolutely. So, yeah, that was interesting. The dirt scene was funny.
That was pretty great.
I don't even remember putting this in there.
Yeah, that was the perfect Brittany response to that. Well, we definitely, as long as we're talking about Santana and Brittany, we should give a
Gina
listen to Santana's response to her conversation.
Can we hear it?
Right. This is a song that I wrote for Sam. It's called Shouty Mouth.
Wait, what's it called?
Shouty mouth.
The look on his face is priceless when she says that.
Guppy face, shouty mouth. Is that how people's lips look where you come from in the south? Group of mouths,
from the salamander lips. Wanna put a fish hook in those lips so chippy bed.
I think my favorite part of it is she's so committed, and it's not a joke. Like, she's not playing it like it's a novelty song. She's so passionate.
Oh, yeah. And she sounds amazing.
So we had Trouty Mouth, and then, of course, we also had Big Ass Heart, which... How did it, I mean, so I asked the listeners what their favorite song was from Glee, and a lot of people did actually say Trouty Mouth and Big Ass Heart. I didn't really see them as songs. I kind of saw them as like novelty moments in the show, which, you know, I'm not above a good novelty, but what did we feel, guys? Ed, how did you feel about Big Ass Heart and Trouty Mouth?
Definitely Trouty Mouth was superior because I love Santa Ana. But Big Ass Heart was good. Like, it was what it was. It showed, what I was concerned about was that okay, this is gonna sound stupid, but that's fine. You could say that it sounds stupid. That Mr. Seuss was gonna hand out like songwriting books, and everyone's gonna pop out these amazing masterpiece worthy collections as if it's that easy, because I assure you it isn't. And so I like this. Like, we definitely showed, even within Rachel, her progression from My Headband, which rocks, to Only Child, which also rocks, to Get It Right, which also rocks,
which genuinely rocks for real.
So overall, I liked it. I'm glad that they weren't too professional. I'm glad that they weren't too great, because that would have ruined the authenticity and the sincerity of it.
Yes. Jennifer, did you have any feelings about Trouty Mouth and Big Ass Heart?
And Hells of the No?
Well, we'll get to Hell to the No.
Apparently, someone hates on Hell to the No. Even though I don't love it, but I don't hate on it.
No, again, as I mentioned in the beginning of the show, I really was... I loved how ridiculous the lyrics were, and then how ridiculously good the music was, and the performances, and how committed they were just, they were totally feeling all of it. I thought it was just fun. Well,
think about it from their perspective and our perspective. They've performed songs on that show that they might not necessarily have known, but they had to sell it. Oh, and we've watched performances where we don't know the song necessarily, but we still believe it. So this is just a song that both of us didn't know, but we both wanted to get it sold across. So it happened.
Oh yeah, I thought it was genius the way they did it. I thought it was exactly right.
Well, let's go ahead and here's a bit of a Big Ass Heart.
To the doctor, cause her heart had palpitations. To cut the carbs or else she'd end up pushing up carnation. She stepped up on the scale and the doctor said, oh lordy, if you don't drop a few, girl, you won't make it past age 40. My girl said, hey looky, on that fancy x-ray chart. Said the doctor, holy hell, that's 1 GD. Big ass heart, I'm telling you, my friend. My girl's got a big ass heart. When she shops for groceries,
didn't understand how this was complimentary. She was so offended by fat bottom girls, and I didn't understand how this was any more complimentary than that one was.
Because he's not because talking he wrote, about her
physical. He wrote it.
Oh,
because
he wrote it. And what'd you say, Jennifer?
Because he's not making a comment on her physical size. He's talking about how sweet and lovely and what a big heart she has.
Well, it takes him a little bit to get there. The first verse is ambiguous, shall we say.
and for those who are concerned, Naya Rivera tweeted earlier today that Big Ass Heart and Trouty Mouth will have studio versions coming to iTunes later this week.
Oh, God. Well, the one studio version we already have is For Hell to the No, and we'll go ahead and take a quick listen. There's so much music in this episode. Here's a quick listen of Hell to the No as performed by Amber Riley, and within the context of the show, written by Mercedes, which is silly.
Said hell to the no. Said wash your grandma's nasty hair. I said hell to the no. They tried to take away my ties. I said hell to the no. Yeah, cause I'm the one that calls the shots. And I say hell to the no. Oh, try to make me change my way. Well, I got something
How did you feel about Hell to the No?
Well, besides being referential to episode one, season one of I Ain't No Kelly Rowland, I'm Beyonce, which was awesome within itself. it was okay song. I mean, I'm not in love with it. It's probably it's above Big Ass Heart, but below Trouty Mouth.
Like, it's definitely it's a great Beyonce moment. That is true. She's going for that style totally.
So, I mean, this is totally Mercedes. This is totally something she would do because it's like her. It's literally her words. So. I did forget that was
a callback.
Okay,
to
great.
One.
Okay, great. Ish.
Jennifer, Hell to the No.
Yeah, I like I said with the other ones, I thought it was really, really fun.
Yeah, I mean, for me, this one was just kind of. I don't know. For some reason, I found it kind of annoying. I think I just have a thing against songs that are named after colloquialisms, which is ironic because I really like Jim Steinman. But
and you didn't have a problem with Trouty Mouth?
No,
I mean, not that it's colloquialism, but I mean the fact that, like, again, these are the students writing these songs. I think that's hysterical.
I guess that's kind of an interesting point because to me, Trouty Mouth and Big Ass Heart were novelty songs, and this feels like it's trying to be a real song. And it did get released on the soundtrack.
Oh, it did? Okay.
Yeah, so it's on the soundtrack. So it felt like more of a real song.
It's on the single, but yeah.
Yes, it's on the single. That's right. That's where I downloaded it.
I totally lumped it together with the other two.
Hmm. Yeah, maybe for some reason it just stood out to me, but I could be crazy. It often happens.
Well, but they can be lumped now because the other two are getting studio diversions due to popular demand. So I mean, arguably it was just a little bit ahead of the curve, barely.
There you go. Well, I did ask the listeners what their favorite of the original songs were on Twitter, and just to get a couple of their responses, it's pretty much across the board. I don't think there's a single one that people didn't love, including My Headband.
My Headband rocks. That's Hunter my Plummer jam.
Called out My Headband. Lots of people did like Hell to the No, Trouty Mouth. I think
Only Child.
Raleigh 3 said Loser Like Me epitomized New Directions as a whole, which is a very nice thing, which I think was kind of the idea there. A very nice thing to say. I did like Jenny Lee says Get It Right, I'm a Sucker for Emotional Ballads. Aren't we all? But yes, everyone weighed in. Of course, Mike from New Jersey said Minor Threat, which goes back several weeks. We've been following that thread. And I think Chris 42993 said, Get It Right because Quinn doesn't deserve Finn. Rachel does.
Wow.
Which is pretty...
That's a statement. I don't know.
The Wesk de Verb, I apologize, I'm totally butchering your Twitter name. He writes, Hell to the No because it is going to be the perfect song for my senior prank on graduation.
Interesting.
Yes.
So, you want to hear details.
Yeah, so we're going to have to get a good background on how that one works. I think it pretty much went across the gamut. I think everybody liked them for different reasons, and that's kind of the idea. So they did a good job of that, you know, giving us an interesting cross section. Of course, we have to talk about before we go. We have to talk about regionals and our judges.
I love Sister Mary Constance and Tammy Jean Albertstein. I love them. The only thing is I wish there was more. I just wish there was more.
Yeah, it was
I was surprised how much time they got.
Actually, no, I was really surprised at how little time they got. When you think about like all the deliberations they had, you know, when they had Josh Groban, yes. Olivia Newton-John, I was hoping for more of that, but I thought they were fantastic. I mean, I love both of those actresses. Well, one's a comedian, but, you know, yeah. I love them both, and I just thought that was awesome.
It was great, and, you know, Kathy Griffin on Glee is pretty much a match made in heaven. I don't know that she fits in just about perfect, but to give her the Sarah Palin character was pretty funny.
Oh, yeah, and to have her say lines like she had that, you know, anybody, like, there's no way you could possibly take her serious or believe that she believed those things. But, I mean, I love when Loretta Devine said, I didn't even like to be pandered to when I was a stripper.
Yes.
Wow, such a great line.
And that was what was funny too, because in the past, you know, when we had the three judges, maybe one or two of them were really funny. But in this one,
all the judges have always been funny, always.
Oh, I was surprised by how funny the nun was, because I thought she was just going to get mowed over by Rod Remington because he's Rod and we love him. And Kathy Griffin, because she's freaking Kathy Griffin.
Yeah.
It was great to see the three of them there and together. And we got a bit of Arl Intensity. We did get to see an Arl Intensity performance.
Arl Intensity has now, for 2 years running, been the pandering type. Last year, if you recall, they're the ones that did the Josh Groban, Olivia Newton-John mashup medley.
That's right.
And then this year they did Jesus Is My Friend or something to that effect. I was like, okay.
Yes, but under the direction of Sue Sylvester. I mean, she knew who the judges were, and she was definitely going.
But if it was the guy that she threw down several flights of stairs, or was her, they're destined to be not winners.
That's okay. I'm okay with that.
Or Oral Intensity.
I do wish we got a scene of Sue actually coaching Oral Intensity, because I wanted to see that. I was impressed that we saw them.
I didn't think we were going to even see them, but then we saw them.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's better than nothing at all. I mean, it's better than having them not show up at all, because that would have been pretty silly. But we did get to see a bit of Arl Intensity. Sue had some hilarious stuff in this episode. Apparently, she claimed that she slept with the drummer of My Chemical Romance, who I looked up and would have been 14 in 1996. And then later
still
says
older than I thought.
Later says she would have she slept with the drummer from Jimmy Eat World that I also looked up, and he would have been 20 in 1996. So that's possible. That's
creepy,
possible. Yeah. And we did have this message from listener Rebecca.
Hi, this is Rebecca Odell calling from Waco, Texas. I was just watching the regionals episode last night, and I just have a couple of irksome, I guess, things to talk about. How does a team go from regionals to nationals without going to state first? I just thought that was weird. And also, does it bug anyone else that Rachel calls the group the New Directions instead of the New Directions? Just some thoughts. Thanks. Love the show. Thanks. Bye.
After she sings her first song, she makes such a point to say, "Ladies and gentlemen, the New Directions."
I thought that was perfect, because I think she's just that type of person who needs to make sure everybody gets it right.
Well, and
she doesn't
want
to be actually, yeah, New Directions.
New Directions. And I often wonder, like, the whole sectionals to regionals seems, and sectionals to regionals to nationals does seem a little silly.
I didn't make that jump.
Maybe there is states in the middle, and we haven't gotten there yet. Because
I think there's just not that many show choirs. I'm just gonna throw it out there. There's a chance that there's just not that many show choirs.
True.
So in Ohio, it actually is. Their regionals event is actually their state.
Well, not exactly. Like I imagine, based on what we've known, there's about 9 teams competing for 1 regional spot. So, assuming that there's about 90 teams in the country, that's only 10 teams at nationals. So that's a logical jump.
You pay so much closer attention than I do. I never would have been able to do that math. But yes, that's pretty much all I have for this episode, guys.
Well, we have to talk about throwing the sticks at Mercedes. We have to talk about...
That was great.
Tweedledum and Tweedle fake boobs.
That was great, yes.
Let's see what else.
Sue punching out the announcer.
That was outstanding.
Oh, yeah. I feel like that just happened. I also... Okay, you know the cheesy song they do at the end of sectionals and regionals? My Life Would Suck Without You, Dog Days Are Over, Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Yes, they're cheesy, but when it didn't happen, I was sad. Okay? I was sad. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, it's weird, because when the show ended, we just both kind of looked at it like, wow, that's it?
The last couple of them.
Okay,
we're wrong.
I'm wrong, Ryan Murphy. Bring back the end group numbers. I'm wrong.
Honestly, it's true. These last 4 or 5 episodes have every episode when it ends, I go, oh, that's it.
Oh, that's it. Okay, that's, yeah, I'm expecting something to come back after the commercial. But it was on. Okay, so I understand. Fine, they, you know, they won, and that was fantastic, and it was great. And then they go back to school, and Mrs. Schuster wants to give out the MVP. And I thought that was really sweet. And she has her, you know, little speech, and, you know, and you get to hear Santana say, great,
and
now
here,
you're
going to
make me regret for voting for you.
Yeah.
And then she has a very touching speech, and then they hug, and it was just like, but there was no... There's no, like, moment.
This
it's
is
just,
when you sing a song.
Or this is when something, somebody says something and you're like, what? And, and then it goes. And if there was nothing,
I was waiting for that.
I
was waiting for a Quinn-Rachel moment.
Yes.
I was waiting for Finn to say something to Rachel because he had that great look while she was singing backstage.
Yeah.
And there was so many things that could have happened, and you're exactly right. It just, it, the whole episode just kind of fell over at the end, and I went, oh, there's the Brad Folichuk television thing. It's all over.
Yeah. So, I mean, it doesn't, you know, it's okay. Like, that's a minor disappointment compared to the rest of, you know, what I think is an amazing episode. So,
yeah,
I'm not really complaining.
Well, yeah, I agree. It felt a little weird. But. And then, of course, we don't get a new episode until April. So that's
April 12th.
So we'll be vamping for a couple weeks trying to figure out what we're going to talk about.
But we did.
I already been thinking about this. Okay. In light of my recent obsession with Naya Rivera, next week we will be discussing Santana Lopez.
Okay. Wow.
So send in your favorite quotes, and there's plenty of them.
All right. And if you, yes, feel free to email those to gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. You can also go to the Twitter, which is at twitter.com/gleefulpodcast. You can find us on the Facebook fan page, and then, of course, the website, which is www.gleefulpodcast. And if you would like to leave us a message about your favorite Santana moments, you can leave it by calling 424-258-GLEE. That's 424-258-4533. And Ed, would you like to thank any iTunes reviewers?
Yes, I would. Glee Mom, OMGLEE, even though I know you posted multiple times. Don't think I don't notice, OMGLEE. Jimbo125, HappyCookie18, PsychedToKnit, Andrea Bailing, Jeep8507, Sproutly, and B4Crazy. Thank you for reviewing us, and thank you for getting us once again into the top 10 on iTunes, TV, and film.
Yay.
Which is always exciting.
That is always exciting. Yes, we do love that. That's so cool. I finished the design for the t-shirt this week.
Oh my god, and it's sweet!
So,
oh my god.
So we should have t-shirts coming in the next couple weeks, so look forward to that. And that is it for us. I picked a winner and now for the contest, and I forgot their name now. So I will email you the winner. Of our finger,
which
you got to see when they were performing.
Yes.
Loser Like Me. So those giant red foam L hands. That's what it is.
That's exactly. That's one of the fingers that we're
ours
giving
out. Says Glee.
So that's pretty much it for us for the Gleeful Podcast with Josh, Jen, and Ed. I'm Josh.
I'm Jen.
How many times must I try until I get it right? That's it. How many times must I try until I get it right?
Well, but then you need to say, I'm Ed, right after that. So that we...
It's real. How many times?
Good night, everyone. Good night.